הנה טובו מעניי, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב, הנה מה טוב, לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
I want to share with you a few things today that the Lord has been putting on my heart for tonight. Tomorrow's going to be a completely different message. But there are some expressions that you've surely heard before in your life. And although they may be a very, very short expression, it says a lot. And it says more than just simply the expression. The three-word expression, do no harm. If you're in the medical profession, you know that expression, do no harm. It's the ethical core of medicine, do no harm. Very simple. Keep your eye on the ball. That works as a core expression if you're a baseball player. Chipper Jones could relate to that one, okay? But really, the expression means something to everybody, making the important thing the important thing. Making the important thing the main thing. Keep your eye on the ball. Very simple. Says a lot more. Innocent until proven guilty. You know that expression, absolutely central to due process. Such simple, simple, simple phrases. But they mean so infinitely much and are so very important. As I mentioned, I've been thinking a lot about Rosh Hashanah lately, and of course, in the scripture, the biblical name is Yom Teruah, Yom Teruah. And it's fairly unique among all the holidays in that it's clearly of great spiritual importance. We all know how important it is. It's one of the high holy days. You're all here. You're all looking good, by the way. Okay, so we're all here today and for a good reason and purpose. It's a great spiritual importance. Yet it's so interesting that if you look actually in the Bible, its parameters are very narrowly articulated. It's interesting, and it really is a contrast to pretty much all the other holidays that are mentioned in the scripture. Yom Teruah, this holiday that we're in, which we call Rosh Hashanah, is incredibly narrowly articulated in the scripture, although clearly of significant meaning and importance. I mean, think about what the Bible says. I'm talking about not the traditions that are all along with it that we've come to enjoy and appreciate, but I'm talking about strictly out of the book. You can glance at any of the holidays and you're going to see a list. Passover talks about the lamb, talks about the unleavened bread and how we are to partake of it. It talks about the Exodus. What we are to abstain from during Passover, eating leaven and all that. Yeshua's special Passover, for that matter. A lot written in understanding and meaning and ritual that is established in the scripture regarding Passover. Shavuot has guidelines. Lots of guidelines as a pilgrimage festival one of the Shalosh Regalim. It's Shavuot is a harvest festival. And even has multiple names. If you look at Shavuot, it's called different things. It's also called Chag HaBikurim. It's called different things in the scripture in addition to just Shavuot. Different names because it represents different things. And even in the Brechad Hashah, the New Covenant, Acts chapter 2, what? The Holy Spirit, the Ruach, was given then. It's just a vast amount of detail about the holiday. Then you have Yom Kippur, which is coming up soon. Yom Kippur, man, you talk about detail. Holy majolis. That's very, very deep Hebrew if you don't speak it. Yom Kippur is such a detailed process. I mean, have you read the account of Yom Kippur? My goodness, you got the goat number one, goat number two, and just when goat number two thinks it's off the hook, no, it's off the cliff. Wow, it's such detailed process, and you got the Holy of Holies and the way to go into the Holy of Holies and the offering and the sacrificing and the mercy seat and for everybody, the fasting that's involved in it. Yom Kippur, so much detail. Purpose, Day of Atonement, the Day of Atonement. Sukkot's coming up in a couple weeks. Sukkot talks about the booths and residing in them. It talks about wandering in the desert and the purpose of it all in great detail. Hey, our shoes did not wear out when we were wandering in the desert for 40 years. The Lord provided for us. We build and we dwell, build and dwell in booths. Lord, there's a lot of description all about Sukkot and things that we do. But then there is today. Then there is today. Rosh Hashanah, actually Yom Teruah in the scripture. Then there is today. Let's take a look at what the Bible says about this holiday. Leviticus chapter 23, if you'd like to turn along to it. Leviticus chapter 23 in the Torah. It's so very interesting. Y'all, it is so incredibly contrasting with all the other holidays that it can't help but be intentional. There's a purpose here. Let's see what God says, all the massive detail and the four twos and whys as to this particular holiday that we're in here. Okay, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23, it says, Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, that's today, you're to have a Shabbat rest, a memorial of blowing shofarot, or trumpets, a holy convocation. You are to do no regular work and present an offering made by fire to Adonai. Okay. And Numbers 29 really gives absolutely no further details other than specifically what special offerings are to be made. If you'll notice in the scripture, this holiday, Yom Teruah, being related to New Year's, is not even mentioned. It's nowhere in the scripture. So on this very, very profoundly special day, we're told this. We're told it's a Shabbat. Have an assembly, have a special offering, blow the shofar. That's it. That's it. That's it. Okay, so we don't work on Shabbat, check. We receive a special offering, check. We have a sacred assembly looking around. Yeah, we're all doing that. And so the remainder, the real focus here now of Yom Teruah, the focus of this highest, high holiday here, the focus of it is to blow a shofar. Dun 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 dun. Blow the shofar. That's it. what about other passages of scripture? Don't they tell us more about Rosh Hashanah, about Yom Teruah, and the purpose of it, and the meaning of it, and what we should be doing this day? No, 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 that's it. The biblical explanation of the holy day as to why is what? No, no, friends, I don't think you understand. I've given it all to you already. I've given you everything there is in the book. That's all it says. The focus is blow a shofar. That's the focus. It's pretty interesting, really. Again, contrasting to all the other holidays. God doesn't do anything accidentally, y'all. It's pretty interesting, really, because I'd present to you that it's actually much more profound than it seems. Why? Because when God is trying to get a point across, oftentimes he makes it as simple as humanly possible so that we don't miss it. I want to paint a little picture for you about oftentimes how God works with us as humans. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts deeper than our thoughts, right? Okay, so he's so much profoundly more than us. Okay, so for him to be able to get things through to us, the complexities of the universe, it only makes sense that he would oftentimes need to simplify things for us so that we can understand, digest, and heed them. Amen? Ecclesiastes, please. King Solomon was the wisest human ever to live, according to the scripture. King Solomon was the king over Israel at its pinnacle. To this very day, Israel has never been bigger. Israel has never been more powerful. Israel has never been more prosperous than under the reign of King Solomon, not before or since. And Melech Shlomo himself, King Solomon, was the richest man in the world. He experienced all that the world had to offer. And friends, I don't know if that was an amen or not. maybe they'll close the door. I don't know. And so he followed God. King Solomon followed God. But then he followed his own fleshly pleasure with women and idols. But in the end, this wise man returned to God. Now, in his old age, he wrote the book that we know of as Ecclesiastes. And within it, he explained how he tried it all. Now, I want you to think about this again. This guy had it all. He had it all. He experienced it all. He did everything. There was nothing left undone. And so he shares about everything that he did. This is what Ecclesiastes reflects upon and how in the end it did not provide fulfillment for him, even though he did it all and had it all. Yeah, you're talking about as wealthy as you could ever imagine. He had it. He had it. He had everything. It did not provide fulfillment. Then at the end of the book, he summarized all of life. Wow. And if anyone should know and understand how to summarize life, it would be the wisest man ever to live who experienced it all. Okay, so friends, no matter how smart or wise any of us are, we're not as wise as him. And probably none of us have probably even touched a fraction of the stuff he did, both good and evil, both for God and for his own pleasure. He did the whole thing. And then he got to the end of the book and he summarizes everything with this, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. It says this, Solomon says, a final word when all has been heard. Final word. Okay, this is the summary of everything. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this applies to all mankind. God will bring every deed into judgment, including everything that is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Whoo, y'all. That's some powerful stuff on this Yom Teruah. Did you hear the summary of it all? He said the summary of it all is fear God, keep his mitzvot. Fear God, keep his commandments. That's it. That's it. A final word when all has been heard. That's it. Fear God, keep his commandments. Because friends, judgment is coming. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Got it? It's so simple, friends. It's simple, simple, simple. Yet it's critically important and not necessarily easy to do. Why? Because it fights against our flesh. So here's the question for you on this Yom Teruah. Fear God and keep his commandments. Are you heeding this? You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I love 1 Corinthians 13. Why? Because it's known as the love chapter. First Corinthians 13 speaks all about love and its centrality to our lives. And all the meaning of love and the attributes of love. It's such a great chapter. I love that chapter. But then at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, wow, Rabbi Shaul goes from an amazing treatise on the definition of love to then he goes and gets ready and then gives you a grand slam of a comment. How does he do so? Let's read 1 Corinthians 13, 13. He says, but now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Woo! You got to think that when he said that, he dropped the mic. Wow. Yes, we have to have faith. Yes, we have to have hope. But man, go back to the simplicity of this. The greatest of these is love. When you're with your spouse, the greatest of these is love. When you're with your teacher, same thing. How about your boss? Oh, Rabbi, come on. Yeah, even the boss, the greatest of these is love. Your parents. How about this one, your enemies? We've heard some about that this week. Whew. The greatest of these is love. This is the message for us, for you and me. It's not particularly complicated, but it's critically important. A question. Are you heeding this? Micah chapter 6, please. Micah 6. So interesting. The prophet Micha shares the heart of God and how when seeking God, we wonder what we need to do. What do we need to do when we're seeking God? What is the responsibility of mankind? What does God expect and desire from us? Do we need to give him thousands of rams? Do we need to give him our firstborn? He gives us a real conclusion. Here is what God says in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, humanity, what is good and what Adonai is seeking from you. Only to practice justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's it. That's it. justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Quite honestly, it doesn't require a lot of explanation. I think that every single person in this room and watching online, everybody can understand it's a pretty simple principle, pretty simple thing. Doesn't require a great deal of me explaining it, but it doesn't mean that it's not critically important. It is. Humbleness of spirit is the heart of God. Want to get closer to God? Humble yourself before Him. And honestly, humble yourself before others too. Practice justice, love, mercy, walk humbly with your God. Do you see how this very simple thing teaches something so powerful? But are you heeding this today? Let's go to the book of Mark, please. Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, Yeshua is with his Talmidim, and there were some other people who were coming up to him and talking to him and asking him questions. And inclusive of this was one of the Torah scholars of the time who came up to Yeshua and wanted to have a little theological discussion with Yeshua. Very, very interesting discussion. Mark chapter 12, verse 28, it says, one of the Torah scholars came and heard them debating. Seeing that Yeshua had answered them well, the Torah scholar asked Yeshua, "Which commandment is first of all?" Yeshua answered, "The first is, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength." Should be familiar to you if you've been paying attention in the service. "The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these." Wow. Yeshua concludes in Matthew 22, same account, a different account of the same story, that the entire Torah and prophets hang on these two commandments. That's it. That's it. Boy, that's intense though. The whole Torah and prophets, everything you read about here can be summed up with those two little commandments. How profound is that? The greatest commandment, love God with everything we have and love others. That's it. That's it. Yep, that's it. The religious leaders of the day were so focused on the nuances of the law that they forgot the most important ones. Beloved, don't get so caught up in debatable arguments that you lose the central core of it all. This is not particularly complicated, but it is critically important. Are you heeding this? So, all of this to me brings us back to today. In some ways, the simplicity of this holy day should be a touch frightening. Not that you're like afraid and like shaking in your boots, quaking like that. But perhaps it should trigger within us the fear of the Lord. It's pretty interesting. Remember, all the other holidays have so much detail, so much instruction, so much. But Yom Teruah says, stop everything you're doing, get together, blow the shofar. In many ways, God's clearing the deck even more about focusing on what He wants for us to focus on. Think again, just as a small sample, Passover, don't eat unleavened bread, Shavuot, pilgrimage, harvest festival, big humongous loaves of bread. Yom Kippur, fast, deny yourself, Sukkot, build booths, wave the lulav and the etrog. Today, Yom Teruah, stop, blow the shofar, heed it. Stop, blow the shofar. Blow the shofar. That's it. That's it. It's very, very interesting. So now let's re-examine the scripture from Leviticus chapter 23, the instructions for today. And I think that we might be able to begin to understand what God is telling us about this special day that we're on today and its practical meaning for our lives. Because otherwise, why are you all here if not to learn something from Hashem? If not to change and to tweak your life, to improve, to grow in your walks. I'll read it again, Leviticus 23, verse 24. Speak to B'nai Yisrael, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, that's today, you already have a Shabbat rest, a memorial of blowing shofarot, a holy convocation. It's interesting. As we dig a little bit more into this very simple and essentially singular explanation of what this holiday is all about, the Hebrew word here, it says something interesting. Today is to be a memorial of blowing shofar, shofarot, a memorial of blowing trumpets. It's interesting, the word memorial there. It seems like what exactly it is, a memorial. It's actually the same Hebrew word that you'd find on Yom HaZikaron in Israel. In fact, Yom HaZikaron is actually one of the other names for Rosh Hashanah. Yom HaZikaron in Israel typically is the Israeli Memorial Day when they remember those lost in the wars to defend Israel's freedom. But this verse in Leviticus implies that the day today is to be a reminder. It's a memorial. It's a day of remembering, a day of memorial, Yom HaZikaron. It's to remind us of something. In fact, some versions of the Bible translate it as a reminder of the blowing of trumpets or shofars. It's tough to look at this as anything less than reminding us of something profoundly important. Why? Because God was stopping the world for the Israelites. Stopping the world. And friends, that's not easy, to stop the world if you're an Israelite of the day. Why? Because they had a lot to do, friends. They were working in their fields. Life was hard. The average life expectancy was perhaps 30 something years old. To stop everything was difficult. It got everybody's attention. You know, it's been a long time since we've had Shavuot. Some of you were here in this room when we had Shavuot many, many months ago. It's been a long time. We had the rest of spring, all of summer, and now it's fall. And so all that time has passed. We've all been doing our own stuff. But now, today, God, the living creator of the universe, says to you and me, stop! Stop whatever you're doing. And remember. Stop and remember. And they needed to do nothing other than bring an offering and heed the sound of the shofar. Now, what might this simple shofar reminder mean for you? Let's talk about that, because that's kind of like the conclusion of the matter, isn't it? We're all to stop. So God has given each of us, essentially, God has given us, our people, a command to stop. And it is a reminder through the blowing of trumpets. What might this mean? What should we be remembering? I think there's a micro and a macro message in this for all of us today. First, I want to talk about the micro message. What exactly is it that you need to be reminded of today? For some of you, God is stopping you and simply reminding you, as Solomon said, fear God, keep my commandments. That is his message for some of you today. Stop! All the other stuff that you're doing may be all well and good. Fear God, keep his commandments. God would say, fear me, keep my commandments. That's it. That's everything. We read it. It's that simple. Perhaps you've been in the world feeding your flesh, working primarily for yourself and not for him. Vanity. That's what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. All that other stuff relative to what's really important. Vanity. Meaningless, he says, other translations. It's meaningless. Heed the sound of the shofar. The shofar sounds in a few minutes. Mr. G's going to come up here, Goldberg, and he's going to blow that shofar more. And when you hear it, I don't want it merely to be like, wow, he can really blow that thing really good. Which he can, by the way. Wow. Even that first shofar blow, woo, that guy's been practicing. Somebody's going to need to get him oxygen when we're done. He's so gifted at it. But I don't want you to just merely come to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, and just be impressed at, wow, the guy blew a good shofar. How was the service? He blew a good shofar. Yeah. It's a little shallow of a conclusion of the whole service, right? No. The shofar is to be a reminder of something for you personally. And for some of you, maybe it's that. But for some of you, God is perhaps telling you that everything else you're doing is well and good, but he reminds you that you are losing focus on what's most important, because the greatest of these is love. Is love. It's easy to become distracted by other things, even other good things. Don't be distracted by the letter of the law and miss the spirit of the law. How are you treating your spouse? Do you have loving compassion for other people? It's so simple. The greatest of these is love. Pretty simple. Greatest. Faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. It's a simple. For some of you, when you hear that shofar, that is what God is trying to speak to you. The greatest of these is love. Maybe there hasn't been enough love in your life toward others and toward him. It's so simple. But are you heeding the sound of the shofar? For others of you today, it might be a reminder, that shofar sound might be a reminder to practice justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. Many have been way too proud this year. We forget our place. I talked about that this past Shabbat. He is the creator. We are the creation. He is the king, HaMelech, not us, not you. He sits in judgment, not us. Do you love mercy? I didn't say like it. Yeah, everybody loves mercy when it's mercy for you. It's easy to love mercy when it's talking about us. Do I love mercy? Yeah, I love mercy. I'll take all the mercy I can get. No, that wasn't exactly my question. Do you love giving mercy too? Yeah. Not quite as strong there, brother. This is what your God asks of you. Simple. Practice justice, love mercy, walk humbly. Simple, but profound. Humble yourself. Heed the sound of the shofar. Maybe when that shofar blows, the Lord is speaking to you. What is he speaking to you in your heart? Maybe it's the greatest commandment. Brother or sister, is God first in your life? Is God your top priority? Or are you your top priority? He commands you to stop and be reminded of what your priority should be. Love God more than anything. Love God with everything that you are. And love others. My gosh, y'all. Simple, 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 simple. But not easy. Are you heeding the sound of the shofar in your life? And listen, there may be other things ringing in your ears today that God is trying to remind you of. I gave you some very simple biblical examples. Perhaps it's one of these that I've just mentioned. Perhaps it's something else that God is dealing with you about in your own life that he wants to remind you of today. It is a memorial for the blowing of trumpets. That's it. That's it. It's to remind us. It's to remind us of something. Maybe you have something else that God needs to remind you of as you are honest with yourself and you're sitting here and you're more than just sitting here looking at the clock, trying to figure out, okay, wonder what they're having for Oneg. No, if you're actually here for the purpose of actually seeking God in your life to grow more in your life, then you should be thinking, God, what are you reminding me of today on this Rosh Hashanah? This is a reminder day, a memorial day, a reminder. What do the trumpets mean for me? Maybe it's reminding you things like faith without works is dead. That would be a good simple thing for him to remind you of. Things like reminding you that if you are, that you are Jewish and God has commanded you not to abandon your identity. Things like reminding you to be still and know that he is God. To pray without ceasing. There are a number of things that God could be speaking to each of you here today. On a micro level, whatever it is. Friends, you have to seek God and ask him to reveal to you what the shofar means for you personally this year. Lord, what does the shofar mean for me this year, God? And then when he impresses it upon your spirit, and if you ask him, maybe you're here and you've never really had much of a conversation with God. Maybe you even believe in God, but you haven't ever expressed anything in a personal way to God. In just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to close your eyes and just pray to the Lord. Lord, what do you want to remind me of this year? And then listen and see if he speaks something to you. Maybe it's something I've talked about. Maybe it's something completely different. And then when you hear it, heed it. When you hear it, heed it. It's not that complex. A simple shofar blast with nothing else that distracts you from what God is reminding you of. See, with a lot of the holidays, there's this, there's that, there's this, we do that, we do this, we do that. Why is it so simple? Why is Yom Teruah so simple? Why is this holiday so simple? We're not waving the lulav and etrog. We're not dwelling in the sukkah. We're not eating the whole Passover Seder meal. We're not, see, all these things are all well and good and very important and meant to show us different things. But this one's different. God just says, stop. Listen to the shofar. There's a reminder for you. Wow, it's pretty eloquent and elegant and profound. And what it means for each of us. The micro message. But friends, beyond this, there's also a greater macro message of the shofar as I get ready to close. And that simple message, also a simple message, is this. There's a reason why Yom Teruah and the blowing of the trumpets happens now. Why? Because, friends, we are only 10 days away from Yom Kippur. The Day of Atonement is coming. Judgment is coming. Messiah is returning soon. You know, as it was in those days, the shofar is an alarm. Shofar was used oftentimes for a call to war or a call to move out. It's an alarm. This is an alarm for us. You could go off in your life doing what you want to do. He's given you a chance. He's given you a chance to stop and to remember. Do you feel it? It's a call to attention. A reminder that what is important is that which is eternal. Do you hear the sound of the shofar? And I'm talking about here. Do you really, really hear it? Are you heeding it? Or will we simply see you again next Rosh Hashanah? The choice is yours. My message title is actually a note to myself, but also applies to all of us on this humble, holy day. And the title is Kiss. Keep it simple, Shlomo. Shana Tova. Let's bow our heads, everybody. That's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua into your heart. If that's you and you've never committed your life to God, but you would like to, how about tonight? If that's you and you've never given your life to God, never made a commitment to God, never said, yes, I want to serve you, God, and I want to receive Yeshua as my Messiah, but you want to today, raise your hand and we'll pray together. People's heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God bless you. I see that hand. Wonderful. God, what a wonderful thing, friends. God bless you. Yes. Yes. Others. Wonderful. This is a blessing. This is a huge blessing. Who else? Just raise your hand if that's you. Just every head bowed and eyes closed. Thank you. I see that hand also. Yeah, I see that hand. Yep. Wonderful. Anyone else? Just raise your hand if that's you. Okay, let's all stand to our feet if we can, please. And the people who raise their hand, there were multiple people who raised their hand. Just everyone just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, is we're going to pray together. You only have to say this prayer once, but we're all going to pray along with you because we want to support you. Those who raise your hand, pray this prayer sincerely. God's going to transform you. And if you're here today And you've already said this prayer. Just say this prayer just to support our brothers and sisters who are saying it for the first time. And if you're watching online, please say this prayer along with us as well, if you have not done so before. So let's all pray together. Dear God, I humble myself before you. I accept Yeshua into my heart. I believe he's risen again, sitting at your right hand. Please forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. I'll live the rest of my days for you. Thank you, God, for helping me and giving me salvation. In Yeshua's name. Heads are bowed and eyes closed. I want to congratulate those people who raised their hands. I want you to see me right after the service. We want to celebrate with you. All of you who are watching online, if you made that decision, it's the greatest decision you ever made. Please send us an email. We want to celebrate. In fact, let's all celebrate to the Lord together right now for this wonderful thing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask if there's... As everyone is here today, we're going to take just a moment, and we're going to have the shofar blast in just a minute, but I want to ask each person here to ask the Lord, what do you want to remind me of on this Yom Teruah? What do you want to remind me of? Something simple? So she's just going to play quietly in the background. We're just going to take 1 minute, and I want you to ask the Lord, God, what do you want to remind me of today?
And then listen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, what is it that you want to remind me of? Lord, why is it that I stopped everything I was doing right now to be reminded of? Abba, Father, what do you want to remind me of right now that I need in my life? Funny how the Lord can speak to us quietly in our spirits. For some of you, the Lord has given you something specific. Maybe I talked about it today, maybe I didn't. But if nothing came to you, that's okay. I want to give you something. Lord, remind me to seek you so I can hear your voice. Because the Lord wants to speak to us. But we have to be open to listen and hear him. But that takes practice. So if the Lord hasn't reminded you of anything yet, then just say, Lord, help me listen to and hear your voice more than ever. And that takes practice. Thank you, Lord. God, I pray that when the shofar blows tonight, that when the sound of the shofar is proclaimed in this room, Lord, that it will remind us of that which you spoke to us today, Lord, so that it can be transformative in our lives, Lord, and we can be different than when we walked in this place, and that this Rosh Hashanah is not just a perfunctory required practice, but rather it's something that is life-altering for us. I thank you for this, Lord. We bless you today. Wow, how exciting it is that we worship a God that teaches us and grows us. Thank you for these things, Lord. B'Shem Yeshua, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Bethel family, please visit our website at www.bethelel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and Shalom.